Okay, first I want to thank, of course, to thank Ralph and Jeff, the Chevrolet Meridian, and also the one of the Chevrolet that's sponsoring
Amen.
us should be a and okay, so. We're going to begin learning Siman Beis on page Chav Vav. To begin Siman Beis, each siman is a different world. So even if somebody didn't learn the last siman, it's not a problem to join. Each of the simanim is a different world. But even though it's a different world, you'll see the way that the Sefer was, well, the way Mesivas Nefesh was written, is that there's a very, very obvious thread that's connecting all the pieces one to the other, and there's a certain sequence that the tzaddik had in mind when he this wasn't Rabbi Nachman that made the Mesivas Nefesh, but when he put it together, it had a very, very clear idea of how the order should be. So even though this is new, but it's also a hemshich of what we were doing. So Chavav, Siman Beis. So this Torah here is from Lukut Moran, Siman Yud. There's much more to this Siman than these few lines. And it would be Kedai, whoever has time, it would be Kedai. Friday nights are still relatively long, it would be Kedai to sit down and to learn Siman Yud in its entirety. Iker Gedulaso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are very strong words because there are many, many aspects of Hashem's greatness. But Iker Gedulas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying the Iker, Godless of Hashem, Iker Gedulas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu Shagam HaRachaykim Yimenu Yisbaruch, Ma'od Ma'od, Gam Hem Yiskarvel Avodasam. All of the different Bechinas of Hashem's greatness, which Ligdulasa, but Iker Gedulasa, the Shagam HaRechaikim is Baruch, Ma'od Ma'od, that even those who are very, very far from Hashem, that are very far from Him, Gam Hem Yiskarvel, that even those Jews who are very far from Him come back to Him. For them to return, that glorifies Hashem's name, in all worlds above and in this world, lamata. If for those who are able to bring back Jews who have grown distant from Hashem, who have drifted from Hashem, those who are able to bring back are involved in this godless, this revelation of the Ikka godless of Hashem, is when a Jew comes back to Him. When a Jew is saying that in the end it turns out that I can't live without you. It's the Ikka godless of Hashem. More than Ikka godless means more than the ones who are close and stay close. Not that anybody should, God forbid, use it as an excuse to go away. I want to give you more nachas, it's not good for a parent, and it's not good for Hashem. But the godless that a person turns around mid-track, turns around and says, I can't live without you, I'm coming back to you. So Ikka godless of Hashem. That's his biggest nachas ruach. Okay, ain l'adam yayish atzmo l'skayv l'avodas Hashem. Therefore, a person should never ever give up. Should never ever give up on trying to get close, trying to come back. He's not just talking about someone who's not religious, who becomes religious. He's talking about all of us. Ain l'adam yayish atzmo l'skayv l'avodas Hashem. Mach mishnes rachik ma'oid ma'Hashem. Is no matter how far you've gone, no matter how far you are away from Hashem, because of the many sins that you've done. Even though you've done a lot of bad things. Never give up. Why? He says, Ki adrav. Imeno daika. Yisalav yishtabach yizgadal kvad yizbrach v'yosef. Navka from you. From the one who has strayed so far away. The one who has done such horrible things. Davka, you're turning back to him. It's the Ikka Gavus that he has. It's the greatest Nachas that he could have. And that his glory and his covered and the Shem Hashem in that way is Mizgala in the strongest way possible. That Davka, the whole Yontif Purim came from Gzeira, that we had fallen to such a low place. It was Lahashma, Lahari, and Abi, that we were all going to be killed. And from that place of being so far from him and having given up after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and then we were all this Bavel and then Persia and everything that was, we were in a very, very, very far place at that time. And the biggest yontif that we have is Purim. Rabbi Nachman himself said that, and there was a time when everything that we have and everything that we are came from Yetzias Mitzrayim, from Pesach. And he said, but now, and he didn't finish the sentence. And the Chassidim, there's a Masorah in Breslov that he was talking about Purim. But now, meaning, but now there's something that we have that's even greater. It's Purim. And the meaning of Purim is V'nahafechu, when there's something that's in the lowest place and it turns around. That's the Ikka Galus of Hashem. Is that reversal? Even though, of course, in the Gemara, there's a discussion of Brachas Taf Lamadal. There's a discussion of who's greater, a Tzadik or Baal Tshuva, a Tzadik Nikar, Baal Tshuva. That's an old discussion. It's not something which is new. Rabbi Nachman is telling us what he knew. Kedai Rabbi Nachman listen, Machalav, that even though maybe there was a Machalikas about that in earlier years, and at this point in time, and the whole world is Michigan, the whole world is dark, that the Ikar Gadlus that Hashem has is somebody who's able to turn around and come back then. That's the Ikar Gadlus. Of the Ikar is Karvus, Arachaikim Lashemisbo, Vaidei Tzadiki Hadar. And the most powerful way to bring back those who are far from Hashem is through the Tzadikim of the generation, through the Tzadiki Hadar. That's the Torah from Meshivas Nefesh, from Rabbi Nachman, from Lukutei Moran. So now let's learn the explanation a little bit from the Meshiv Navshi, from Rav Kivak. Eich ev shalim doid ero shal mitzvah. Yes.
You were saying who's greater, Baal Tshuva or Tzadik? Is there such a thing as a Baal Tshuva who becomes Tzadik?
Well, no, that's what it's talking about, about Shuva. We're assuming that now he's a tzaddik, but he has a past. So the discussion of the Gemara is, who is on a higher level? Is it somebody who never ever slipped? He was a tzaddik from the beginning and straight through? Okay. Or is it a person who became a tzaddik?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I wasn't clear. Who became a tzaddik? So, there are different views about that. The Rambam also, and other Rishonim, but who's greater? And then even the question of who's greater is not necessarily an answer to the question of what gives Hashem his bigger nachas. That's two different questions. It could be somebody that's greater, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what gives Hashem the biggest nachas. You could walk into any Beis Medrash, and there could be the greatest student in the Beis Medrash, the smartest, the finest. But it could be the Dafka, the kid that pulled himself out of bed that morning after not being in yeshiva, after being up the whole night, you know, whatever, smoking and drinking and doing other stuff. And instead of giving up, he pulled himself together and he came to yeshiva late, whatever it is, and he just opens up the Gemara and starts to learn. Again, who's greater? So you could say that the top guy in the yeshiva is the greatest guy in the yeshiva. What's the Ikka Godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's being revealed? It could be the kid that came late. Hashem knows these things. Okay, ideas do. This that we just learned. Umeser Boru is a clear message. L'chol Adam, l'chol Zman Umasa, to every person, no matter what time it is in his life, and no matter what his matzav is in life, it's a Meser Boru, it's a clear message.
Can you tilt your camera? We don't see you well. Thank you.
Better?
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Shimimeno Daika, Miss Alu, Miss Godla, Kredis, Miss Brother. That this person, from this person right now in his life, this goes back to what we're learning in the beginning of the Sefer, Shimon Aleph, that this person right now in his life, Davka, from him, in his present life, he's able to bring about Mis'alu Mis'gala Kved Hashem. From his life right now, the question of his life is, this is Simon Aleph, same thing, the question of his life is not to cry about the mistakes I've made, not to give up on changing. The question is, right now in my life, what is the greatest comfort that I can give to Hashem? Remember, that's what we're learning in Simon Aleph. To give up, stop thinking about your COVID, stop thinking about your Hatzlacha and your COVID, and start thinking about Hashem's Baruch's COVID. And what is it that gives him nachas? What is it that's considered to be a good day for Hashem's Baruch? A good day for Hashem's Baruch, not for you. So, from you right now in your life, even though you're very, very far from Hashem, so you think that you're the last person that you're the last person that could give kavod to Hashem, because you're so far from him. What Rabbi Nachman is teaching us in this Torah is that you have it all wrong. Dafka, the ones who are furthest from Hashem, have the ability in their present life, with some adjustments, they have the ability to bring him the greatest kavod. But Ikka Godless of Hashem comes from a person like you. Notice the Ikka Godless of Hashem does not come from the guy that's sitting in the front row in the shiur. Even though Hashem loves him, he's Givaldic. That guy, the one that everybody, you know, wants to marry into, you know, with. That's great. But the Ikka Godless of Hashem could be something that you right now have the opportunity in your life, in your miserable, broken life. You have an opportunity that the guy in the front row doesn't have. The opportunity is from being far, far away, come back to him. That's an opportunity that the other guy doesn't have. You have that opportunity. That's right now. That's your life. Don't say, I wish. So you could sit around thinking, why couldn't I be like that guy? They told me I was so smart. I could have been the best guy. But instead, I went ahead and I did this. I did this. I did this. I did that. And now I can't give. That's about you. That's your covet. We're not talking about your covet. We're talking about covet Hashem. Covet Hashem. Your whole life is a total mess. And you do every aver derais and derabanan. You should know that if you're interested in Hashem, not yourself, if you start to think about Hashem, and you're starting to move in that direction, instead of thinking only about yourself and thinking about Hashem, until now you were just thinking about yourself, to get what you wanted. But now, if you want to know what Hashem wants, if that's your new perspective, then you, right now, have the ability to give him the kind of nachas that other people can bring to him. If that's what you're interested in. If we're talking about Kavod Hashem, you could bring him bigger Kavod than had you not done these things. That's the power of truth. You could bring him bigger Kavod now than before you did this stuff. So stop talking about how I messed my life up. I could have been, I would have been, I should have been, and all those things. Right now, in your life, that's about you. Right now, in the present moment of your life, which is horrible. You're in a horrible place. Right now, in this horrible place, If you begin, even in a small way, turn back towards him, The tzaddik is telling us, and everything he's telling us is from the Zohar Kodesh Narizal. The tzaddik is saying to us, the tzaddik is telling you that you should know that you're bringing him the biggest kavod. Dafka you, you're bringing him the biggest kavod. And this derech zu, v'hepech derech ha-gaivu. So he explains that this derech that Rabbi Nachman is talking about, that we're learning about today, and really the first siman too, this derech is the opposite of the way of gaiva. Gaiva meaning conceit. Conceit and arrogance. You understand why? Why is it the opposite of gaiva? Because it's a shift from you and your status in the eyes of yourself or other people, or your what you imagine God's eyes to be looking for, and thinking for the first time in your life, not about yourself, but about the one who created you. What is it that he wants of you right now? And how could you give him cover right now? Stop thinking about yourself. It's the hepech of derech ha-gaiva. And this way is v'derech bittel kol geyus. This is the way of nullifying all conceit, all arrogance, all haughtiness. This mahalach that we're learning is the opposite of gaiva. It's completely the way of bittel, which is the nekudah pnimis of the whole Torah of Baal Shem. This is about bittel. This is about humility. It's about humility. This is, you're finally humble enough to stop satisfying yourself and your own tiredness and your own disgusting selfish needs, and you're thinking about what can I do to give kavod to Hashem as well. That's the opposite of gaiva. It could be that the guy in the front row is filled with himself, the best guy, never messed up like you. It could be he's totally filled with himself. He's totally filled with gaiva. Hashem says about a bal gaiva, ain't any who. I can't live in the same world with a bal gaiva. Hashem despises gaiva. And you, with all the mistakes that you've made, Rukhule, and all the things that you've done that are not good, you're in a place of bittul. And when you're in a place of bittul, then you're close to Hashem. And you're with Hashem. In your place of gaiva, Hashem says, I ain't an evil. I'm not with Bali Gaiva. I don't have a kesher with Bali Gaiva. But people are humble. Hashem is about, that's who he hangs out with. But people are humble. So that's what he says. You sowed godel, there's garbus adam badarichu. This, what we learned from Menachem, is a tremendous yesod, a very strong, it's a fundamental yesod in being misgaber in the way of tshuva, in a person doing tshuva. And the reason is very simple. Kihine muvan shakol chiyus ha'odam b'chol avayda shei, the very normal and human instinct that Hashem created us this way, that any chiyus that a person gets from whatever the avoda is, tluya b'yidia sheyesh to'elis b'avadasa. Depends on knowing and believing and that there is a toelis for what I'm doing. There's a benefit. There's a toelis. There's a purpose for what I'm doing. But the way that it works here in this world is kevin sheinayim kehos. The eyes, our eyes in this world are darkened. We don't appreciate, we don't understand the value of a mitzvah. We don't understand the value of a mitzvah. We don't appreciate that. Because there's no way to measure, to estimate, to weigh the value of a mitzvah. So, because of that, mishumkach, noitim anu laharich es maaseinu begodo. So, because of that, we have a very strong netiyah, an inclination to measure our actions, to evaluate our actions, to evaluate the worth of our actions based upon godel v'kamas, how grand, how big it is. Simashas, and all such things. The ladies now have a Tanakh, you know, Sima and Tanakh, which is very nice. Simashas is fantastic. That's not the point. The point is that we've, and in this world, because we don't appreciate what a mitzvah is worth, the only thing we do appreciate is some big, fantastic, unbelievable, super duper, crazy, amazing undertaking. You know, that there's nobody who ever lived that has made as many barbecues for soldiers as me. Contest. I'm the biggest griller for the Jewish people who ever lived. But to call up your grandmother and to wish good Shabbos. Grandma, how you doing today? She talks a little bit too much, and you might be on the phone for a half hour with her if you ask her the question, "How are you?" She might answer you, and you take that risk and you call her up anyway, and she actually answers you, and you sit there on the phone for a half hour. That doesn't get into the newspaper. You understand? You don't get any awards for that. So we don't evaluate mitzvahs properly. The way everything is measured in this world. Somebody was just telling me about a certain community of Jews. Right, fine. Community of Jews. Where in order to be looked up to in that community, you're either a big Talmud Chacham or you're very rich. But if you're just a regular guy, like, someplace in between. You're not a Talmud Chacham. Whatever, you learn a little bit, you try. And you're not particularly well-to-do. You make a living. So in that is understanding that familiarity with experience has been that you're not like not considered like to be a flesh of a person. That's not a chashivas. It's not a chashivas. So maybe you run some gemach or you run some organization, but if you're just like a regular good guy that calls your grandmother. So this was the whole milchama. I've explained this many times over the years. It's Shabbos Kolam, this Shabbos. Now beginning the four parashiyos, it's Shabbos Kolam. We're heading towards Purim and Pesach. And so Chazal say that Haman wrote 10,000 kikar kesef to buy the Jewish people, to kill every Jew. And Chazal tell us that the mitzvah of half shekel is going to completely outweigh all the kesef, all the shkolim of Haman, but the half a shekel of the Jewish people is going to bring to Haman's downfall. So what does that mean? So the Sfarim said that shekel is the Rosh HaTevis, Shachbacha, Kumecha, Lechtecha. It means a good regular thing that a Jew does. A half a shekel of a Kriya Shema, a half a shekel of Tefillin, a half a shekel of a kind word to somebody, a half a shekel of making a good bracha. A half a shekel is the strength of the Jewish people. Tamid echad babayke, tamid echad b'rabayim, to bring a carbon in the morning, night, give up of your time to learn, to give up of your time to help somebody, to go to shul, to be a regular in shul, be a person who's consistent. That's called a half a shekel. Haman's mahalach in this world, Amalek's whole mahalach in this world is to tell a Jew that only if you do something really, really, really heroic and really amazing and really big, really, really big, the big event, the big, huge mitzvah, the amazing, amazing thing. So then that's something which is chashiv in Hashem's eyes. That's really chashiv. But a half a shekel is mispun shvet. Say half a shekel. Shivtecha, shachbecha, shivtecha. The regular things in a person's day when you get up in the morning and how you get up in the morning and how you and how elok you are at work, and you're not a gvir, you're not a talmud chacham, just a half a shekel kind of guy. So a mother comes and says to you, mom comes and says to you, it's not good. It's the whole lineage of Haman. It's not worth much. Your life is not worth much because you know what are you doing? You did something big. How many burgers did you flip? I'm just using you as an example. And it doesn't mean that Khalil not to give credit to the people doing those wonderful things. That's not my point. Everything is wonderful. But that's the point. Everything is wonderful. And the Ikka godless that Hashem has, and the Ikka cover that Hashem has in this world is when Jews bring them the Kesef, the Zav, the Chayshev, the half shekel, the shekel, whatever it is, even the half shekel. And that's the same thing that the Gemara tells us, that Ben Haman asked the boys what they were learning, and the Kaimitz HaMincha, the little bit of flour that for the Mincha, which is a poor person's offering. And Haman understood that that's going to bring to his downfall. He was all upset about it. About a Kermitz HaMincha, about a little fist of flour for some poor person's carbon. Why was he so worried about that, Haman? Because Haman understood in the deepest way that Seres Allah from Kika Kesef, that the 10,000, you know, the $10 billion number that he gave to buy the Jews, at the end of the day, is completely helpless when it's up against the half a shekel of good things that a Jew does every moment of his life. He tries to do good things. Well, the machzor shek, half a shek. The person thinks that when I was in yeshiva, wow, I used to daven like with such kavana. Now, so then you just let go and you become another person that goes to shul, but you don't really go on time. You leave early. You don't really daven. You talk during davening. Why? Because why does Hashem want my half a shek? My half a shek is nothing. It's worth nothing. That's the whole avodah of amalim. To bring a person to yeyush and to katnus and to kashmir doesn't care about you. A poor person to bring a carbon is a chashuva thing. Hashem Shabbos says, I like that little bit of flour. I have a lot of nachas and a little bit of flour. Because for you, that's quite an offering. And nowadays, for Jews to bring Hashem Shabbos a half a shekel of a mincha and a ma'ariv, it's a big thing. Maybe it wasn't such a big thing 1,000 years ago or 100 years ago, but it's a big thing now. And for that kid to get up and bring himself to the base medrash, it's a big thing. It's a half shekel, but Haman comes along and says, it's not worth anything. Look, Haman had everything going for him. But this is what was missing in his life, that the Jew didn't bow down to him. He could have been a happy guy. But why wasn't he happy? It's all worthless to me because my victory depends on getting this Jew to bow down to me. We don't do that. We do the same thing. You make your victory dependent on some kind of a zach. What else to say? An inyan. A big inyan. That's my victory. Do you understand this? Do you understand Donald Trump at all? Anybody understand this guy? I understand him. I don't understand him. You understand him? It's very, the pshat is, why am I mentioning that? Like, why doesn't he just retire and have and enjoy himself? He could probably afford to learn the whole day. He could probably buy all the Sfarim he wants. What could be better than that? You sit and learn. He could probably help out a lot of guys in Kollel also. Like, why do you need this as an old guy? Why do you need this? Yeah. Otherwise, it's insane. You could have such an easy life. Enjoy your latest wife or whatever, and just relax. Like, you know, play golf or whatever your hotels or something, and just have a good time. Enjoy your you have Yiddish, he has Jewish Einiklach. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your Einiklach. Go to the Siddur party. Go to the Chumash party. What are you dragging around with this stuff? And every single minute of your life, people are saying the most disgusting things to you and about you. What do you need this for? And he enjoys. You see how he enjoys it? It's an amazing thing. It's such a muscle of life, this guy. Because Kolzan and Shavuot, wouldn't you rather spend time with your grandchildren? You don't have to go to work. You with all the lawsuits. You know, he needs money to survive. Oh, he's winning. I heard you got 9-0. You don't have to worry about money. Take it easy. Just retire. What do you have to be to be a president? And then you're going to book, let's say, if you win, what kind of headaches you're going to have with this business? You're going to be an 80-year-old guy sitting over there huddling with a bunch of progressives and liberals in Michigan and fighting with them, and then they're going to try to assassinate you, God forbid, and who knows what. And for what? For the COVID. It's a very easy thing to say the COVID. But the Emes, this Yetzirah of Haman is so strong, this perversion, not to be able to look at your life and to say, I'm so grateful for the half shekel that I have. Wow. My half dollars are gewaldig. I have a much better life than the guy than Haman with his millions and millions of shekel. Much better life. Much, much better life. You know how many times I have people coming to talk to me, and they have all kinds of stories of money because they had a lot of money. They lost a lot of money. They had a lot of money. They lost a lot of money. I never had that in my life. I never had much money. I never lost much money. And I'm a happier guy. I never had much money. We never had anything like the bank or sitting around it to invest. I'm kind of investor. I used to my children, my those are, I have the best investments from here and Surrey and the best of the ever. Those are my investments, my children, my grandchildren. What I have to, I never had any of these headaches at all. Masuka Shina saw you, but I was just a guy that, like many of you here, you just work and you're able to go to bed and you have a good night's sleep to make and then to lose and to be on top of the world and to be at the bottom of the world and to hold goggle face above them. Everybody's going crazy. I have people coming to talk to me about that tsaris with the money, I say, I don't know, I have like $20 here. I can give you help you out. You want to give you something? It can help you out. But this, I never had this kind of stuff, Master Shalom. So, and then with everything, Kol Zayin Inish Avali, it's just Gunish Ver. It's not worth anything to me. Kol Zman, as long as Mordechai is sitting beside Malach, and he's not bowing down to me. So Trump can't go on with his life unless he has Biden bow down to him, unless he has the Nancy Pelosi come up from the dead and bow down to him or something. So you see, he can't. Trump can't cancel. He's got to have all these different states that voted against him. They all have to bow down to him. It's the same as Haman with Mordechai. Haman said, I cannot retire. He was a very rich guy, Haman. Where did he come up with that money? He didn't go looking for investors. We only do stuff like that, the people with problems. He didn't have investors. He was a wealthy guy. It wasn't really from his hard work how he got it. That's not important for now. But he was a rich guy. So why didn't he just retire? What do you make yourself crazy with Jews? Because this whole Simchas Chaim is only the big win to destroy Am Yisrael, to get rid of Mordechai, because there's one Jew that doesn't bow down to him. Everybody else is Karem Shtachim. And there's one Alti that's sitting over there and he's staring him in the face. And this Haman ended up hanging on a tree because of that, because it got. He couldn't deal with that. He could have been the happiest guy in the world. He had a lovely wife, Zeresh, yes, and fantastic kids. What happened? The story of Purim. And it replays itself all the time in our lives also. It's nice to make Purim spiel about Haman, but it's in our lives the same thing. If we knew what a mitzvah was, even the tiniest little creation, the tiniest little call to the Bobby, It's English Shire, what it means. Especially if you're a person that it's been hard for you to do mitzvahs and you're able to crank one out, that's the Ikka Gadlus of Hashem. And you turned away from your whole delusion and from your whole craziness and all of your tyrus, and you did a mitzvah. You did a mitzvah. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. There's no, you don't have to have the, you don't have to have an attire on your talus, a big heavy thing. You have a nice simple talus. Hashem's happy. You don't have to have a fancy talus. That's good. The problem is, Mishum Kach Naitim on Laharach is Maaseinu Begodol VeKamus. We have this netia to evaluate our actions in our lives by how big and how much. Kvisha Mekubal Laharach Kol Dor Ba'olam, the same way you measure the money or how much food you have or whatever stuff, how many coats you have in your closets. So. Ulam Ha'emes, he Shashir Hashivas HaMitzvah. The truth of the matter is Hashem has a whole different way of evaluating stuff. a whole different way of evaluating. Remus says, "Hashiach hashivus hamitzvah nivchal nefi erech hanachas ruach." By Hashem, it's not amounts, it's not numbers. It's the nachas ruach. Nefi erech hanachas ruach is alus kvod shemayim, and how much kvod shemayim? How much alukus did he reveal in the world? How much kvod shemayim? Shenas ayod alamayim that was revealed above because of what you did. And when it becomes clear to a person, that's what Rabbi Nachum is teaching you in this Torah. When it becomes clear to you, a davka from you, davka because you're a poor person, and for you to bring a little bit of an offering, even if it's a flower, not an animal, a little flower, but because that's so hard for you, and because for a poor person to even think about giving something up and you're holding on to every penny and you're ready to bring an offering to the Beis HaMikdash. Tremendous nachas ruach. Davka from you, because you're so poor in mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. It's the opposite of what we usually think. I'm so poor in mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, so I'm not matzliach, so why bother? It's a davka from the person who's poor. And you make a sacrifice, there's nothing greater than that. The poor person's quarter in the bushka, that's how Hashem measures things. Not the same way that we do. And it's sad because our from community has become so obsessed with numbers, with how much, and even the nice things that we do, like, you know, like you look at these pictures, you know, like from some cheder in Bnei Brak, and they dress them up like clowns with crazy like outfits and crowns, like 6 feet tall, and marching around. It's just, you know, the whole things, like to make it like a so you want to get the kids excited. But we're teaching our children that the only things that are exciting is when it's like grandiose and fancy and something big, and you know, it's just a circus. Our communities have become like circuses, big. The advertisements, even all the advertisements for frum events, things that are done with this. There should only be good things, and everybody should be able to afford and to be happy. And it's not like I don't think everybody should have whatever they should be happy. But we've gotten into this whole thing about measuring by numbers and measuring by. It's not Hashem's mahalach. It's just not how Hashem measures things. So Hashem Yisbach says that, and Haman knew this. Haman understood that the little flower, that the little flower of the mincha, the kaimitz mincha, that little flower is going to destroy. But a half a shekel is worth more to Hashem than millions and millions of shekels that he brings. A half a shekel of shachmucha, shivtcha, kumecha, lechtecha, going to shul, getting up on time, doing what you're supposed to do. So you could be some kind of a smart, fancy, rich guy, and you look at this, shul that walks into shul every single day, he comes, but you'll never see him because he comes half hour before you do. But the one who comes to shul early and stays at shul to the end and tries to daven, and you're some rich, smart guy, you know, you comes running into shul with your coffee and you do your little thing there, the Beyonce. And you walk out of shul like a peacock with your head up. And this guy goes to work. And how does Hashem measure these things? It's totally different than we do. The shalom, he doesn't have the same mabat, the same Hashem's perspective is what the tzaddikim are describing, because what they're telling us. That's a totally different perspective. Who's an ish masliach? Shemayim, what's considered to be a chashiv thing? What's a chashiv thing? So for the poor person to give a little mincha can be worth much more than the rich guy writing a big check. Well, Hashem has different things. Totally different. Davki Misal, the same thing when it comes to when you're a person that's poor in mitzvahs. And that's poor in nice and tovim. Or that's poor in learning. And still you give up time that day and you try to sit down and learn, even though you don't remember what you learned. You don't remember, you tried, you learned it, and then you reviewed it a little bit, and you just can't remember the next day. And you see some other guy that remembers everything he learned, and he knows so much, and he remembers some. Who is the guy in Hashem's book? How do these things get measured? How do people measure them? Hashem has a whole different way of measuring. Really different way. That through, Davka, because you're a person that you're poor, but you're trying to do something different and something for Hashem. Misiaka Kredis Baruch. This brings Hashem's stock higher. Hashem lecha chizik v'sipa golem yizeh. What greater chizik can there be than for a Jew to know this, to believe in this, that this is true? Just by knowing this that we're learning today, a person should be filled with tremendous simcha. With every little half a shekel that we try to do. And we would break out into a dance and we would be clapping our hands. This truth becomes clearer to you. The closer you get to tzaddikim, you see how the tzaddik looks at other Jews. Now, tzaddik measures a person, also. And ki v'divrei makdashim esgala b'lev ruach chaim shel yahadis apshuta. When you see the real tzaddikim, and you get a chance to take a look at a heart that's on fire, that's awake, that's alive, with simple, real Yiddishkeit. Yahadis shel yahadis pshuta pshuta pshuta. Without the fancy crowns and all the, 16-piece bands and so on. Just simply Yahadis Pshut. Simple Yiddishkeit. Hashabo kol mitzvah pula toivah mekal b'yachas achal agami. The Bayit Tzadik, every single mitzvah is so chashuv. Every single maisa toiv is chashuv, is big. He moided kol pula lefimah shanasem yimena ke'es nachas ruach l'mayelim. Because everything is measured by the Nachas Ruach that it brings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now. Knowing this gives a person tremendous satisfaction, tremendous simcha, tremendous joy. Not by evaluating things the way that they're evaluated in this world, how big and how much. Because that way of looking at life is the source of all conceit. All gaiva, all haughtiness. Rachakar, all tsar, kasheroi, kaitzer, hespik. And then, not only is it all the tsar, just like Haman, because Haman is the biggest balgaiva, and he didn't get what he wanted, because what he wanted was Mordechai to bow down. And then what happens to him? It's filled with tsar, his whole life is worthless. Balgaiva doesn't get what he wants, his life is worthless. Kasheroi, kaitzer, hespik, and he never gets what he wants. Because the nature of the Balgaiva is that whatever he gets, Yesh Leivmana writes him aside. He's never happy what he gets. So he's never. So you give him another shekel, he's never happy, he never adds up. But if a woman had millions of skull, he didn't care. It doesn't add up. Because it didn't work out the way that he wanted, because the Balgaiva has to have it the way that he wants it. So it never works out that way. So it never added up to what he wanted. Marshall also like Kirt Sinai, that his Rasan, the Balgaiva's Rasan, didn't come to be what he wanted. Didn't work out. And since it didn't work out, then what? Then he's Baivez. Then it's anger. Ruins his wife, ruins his kids, and angry and depressed and so on. The tzaddik, when you connect yourself to the tzaddikim see the yakus of a simple Jew. A beautiful yid is a simple thing that costs a shekel. The value of that and the beauty of a simple Jew. And they always... The true tzaddikim always saw that in a much higher way than anything that other people saw as being big or being valuable or being important. I told you a year or two ago, Maisa from the Rebbe Baruch from Meshvitz, so we'll end with this today, that Rebbe Baruch from Meshvitz, Hashem's grandson, so Baruch from Meshvitz had an inyan. Friday night by the Tish, he would... He would come into the dish and he would look around. And, tzaddikim, they have such way to see And only after he would look at all the chassidim for a while, and then he would fear tish, then he would have the tish. So one Friday night, so Abarav Meshbitz comes into the tish, and he looks around, and he left. The hour or two, he comes back, leaves again. Finally, it took many hours. I don't know how many chassidim were left, but it took him many hours until he finally feared it. So what happened? So they asked him afterwards what happened. So Baruch Meshbitz said like this. He said, my hanhag is, the way that I fear tish Friday night, is that when I walk into the tish, I look around and I try to learn from each and every one of you. So I try to see something in each and every one of you that I can learn from. And then I could fear tish. There was somebody here tonight that when I looked at him, I saw that he had just done today the most disgusting, horrible thing in the world. A terrible affair. He saw. He said, I tried as much as I could to learn from him, but I couldn't because he's such an animal. I couldn't learn from him anything. So then maybe how did it work out? In the end, you did see the tish. The guy left. He said, no, the guy didn't leave. He said, I looked at him and I said to myself the following. If I would have done what this person did today, I never, ever would have had the courage to show up at the tish. I would have just let myself die. And I learned from him that you should never, ever give up. And even no matter what you've done, you still try to go to the tish and try to connect yourself to other Jews and to stay with it, stay with the game, and stay in it. That's what I learned from this guy. So then I was able to feel the tish. See how the tzaddik looks at people. It's unbelievable. He saw in him a godless, that this person that gave big kavod shamayim after doing such an aveir, that he still came to the tish. Because he still wants to have a connection to Kedusha. So Baruch Meshbitz said, I learned from this guy such a name. And the tzaddikim have a different. Everybody else would say, this guy, like in the computer, you know, thumbs up, this guy's thumbs down. And Baruch Meshbitz says, thumbs up. And I'm sure that Baruch brought this heat out. I don't know the end of the story. I'm sure whatever it is, he brought him out. Because Baruch Meshbitz said, he looked at the way at other people, the way that Hashem looks at people. And he measured people by the way that Hashem measures people, not the way that people measure people and all these different things. He measured people the way Hashem measures, that this person brings the biggest covenant to Hashem because from his place, Davka, like we just learned, that from his place, Davka, he's able to bring such nachas work to Hashem's work to come up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wow. It's unbelievable limit for this guy. So Hashem is Moshe because it's Parshas Shkola. That means even though we don't have the schus to be in the Beis HaMikdash, we should be there soon. But in the meantime, we should be proud of our half shekel that we bring, to try to bring good, nice, clean, pure half shekel to Hashem to give him nachas. Shabbos, have a good Shabbos, everybody.